Chapter 29. The police were winding down their work in Catherine's house. The female detective had left, Bobby, too. Now she saw only a random uniformed officer here and there doing God knows what. The space was emptying out, trying to become her home again. She thought she'd feel grateful. Instead, as she watched each crime scene tech disappear out the door, she felt increasingly anxious, vulnerable. Her home wasn't her home anymore. It had been penetrated, violated in a horrible manner. She wanted to run away. Instead, she stood a lonely watch in the front parlor, desperately trying to earn Nathan a few hours, at least, of slumber. He thrashed in the pillows now, his lips mumbling words from an unhappy dream. An outsider may have thought the front parlor was too bright, but she knew the truth. The two burning lamps didn't offer enough radiance for her and her light-obsessed son. At the rate things were going, soon there would not be enough bulbs in the world to grant either of them a respite from the shadows. She didn't know what to do. So, of course, her father-in-law arrived. James Gagnon strode into the foyer with his $1,000 cashmere coat and impeccably polished shoes. 3 in the morning, for God's sake, and he looked like he'd just stepped out of his courtroom. The young uniformed officer standing in the foyer took one look at him and snapped to attention. "Stand strong," Catherine told herself. Oh, God, she was tired.
"Catherine," her father-in-law boomed. "I came the moment I heard."
Catherine moved into the foyer, purposely putting distance between him and Nathan. James rested his hands on her shoulders, the picture of fatherly concern. He kissed both of her cheeks, his gaze already moving hungrily past her, searching for his grandson.
"Of course you and Nathan must come with me immediately. Marianne and I wouldn't have it any other way."
"We're fine, thank you."
"Nonsense! Surely you can't want to spend another night at the scene of a hanging."
Catherine was very aware of the uniformed officer standing 15 feet away and listening openly. "Funny, I don't remember calling you with the news."
"No need. One of my colleagues let me know. Dreadful business, of course. I've always said I didn't think it was a good idea to go with foreign nannies. Poor girls. They simply can't handle the pressure. Nathan must be horribly distraught. Let me talk to him."
He made a move to step forward. She blocked his advance. "Nathan's sleeping."
"Amid all this chaos?"
"He's very tired."